This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dearest brothers and sisters, this is the 23rd lesson in the tafsir of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. And the scene we've got to is as follows. Ya'qub alayhi salam has just reached breaking point when he's found out the news of his second son Binyamin, as also the eldest of them, being left stranded in a foreign land, Egypt. And he's reached breaking point because here, at this point, Allah tells us that he complains to him. Yeah, and he says to Allah, "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah," that indeed my bath, which is grief that is spread throughout all of my body, as well as the new grief regarding my second son, is something I want to complain to you about now. And that is actually a dua that he was making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know it's a dua because the sons, when they see dad in that state, وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ, when his eyes have turned white, meaning he's become blind or partially sighted, they're amazed. They say, "What's going on? You're going to kill yourself with grief. Don't do this, dad. Don't do this to yourself." And then he says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He's saying, "You think I'm just complaining and whining? I'm not. I'm doing this to Allah," as if to say, I'm making dua to Allah. And then he says, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَتَعْلَمُونَ. I know something from Allah that you don't. Meaning, even though I don't know where Yusuf alayhi salam is, Allah showed me through him that dream, which I know is a true dream, and I know he's still alive. Yeah, but it's killing me not knowing where he is and, you know, how he is. So I'm making dua to Allah. Which is quite amazing because he just is in such a state of total grief, yet he hasn't lost hope in Allah. In fact, he's quite positive because when he complains, he says, perhaps Allah will bring them all back to me. One of the interesting things we forgot is that he's been told that Binyamin is left stranded in Egypt, right? But he says to Allah, Ya asafa ala Yusufa. He says, "Oh Allah, my sorrow over Yusuf alayhi salam." But we haven't told you about Yusuf alayhi salam. No, but this situation reminds me about what happened before with Yusuf alayhi salam. So if you're looking at it from the son's perspective, they just told dad Binyamin's been taken hostage, if you like. And you're turning around talking about Yusuf? In that is a lesson that the hasid, the one who envies, he never achieves his goal. Never. The one thing they wanted is, "Dad, please give us your attention, undivided attention, and you know, don't pay much attention to that one." And they went ahead and threw him in a well in order to try and get that objective. But after all of these years, they failed. He's still totally attached to his youngest then son, Yusuf alayhi salam. Yeah, so the hasid, he never achieves his objective. Now, the next part is dad, quite strangely, tells the sons, "Go back to Egypt and bring back all of them." Yeah, bring back all of them. We're going to ask a question, which is, how comes now Ya'qub alayhi salam tells his sons, "Go and find Binyamin and Yusuf and bring them back," whereas before, in the beginning, when they said to dad, the wolf ate Yusuf, he never said, "No, no, go back and find him." Yeah, so we're going to ask that question. How comes in this scenario he tells them, "No, go back"? So the verse that we are covering today, inshallah, verse number 87 through to 92, inshallah. So let's read these verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفلنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين إن الله يجزي المتصدقين قال هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف وأخيه إذ أنتم جاهلون قالوا أئنك لأنت يوسف قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي قد من الله علينا إنه من يتق ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين قالوا تالله لقد آثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين Okay, it's quite amazing, subhanAllah. This is the moment that Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, declares to the brothers who he really is. Up until now, they think he's Aziz. And this is where the reunion begins as well. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam, he's just been told that bad news. And after grieving over that news and making dua to Allah, he bounces right back. He's full of hope again. And he tells them, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu mi Yusuf wa akhi. Oh my dear children. It's quite interesting that he's speaking to them with affection. Yeah. He spoke to Yusuf, Bunayya, yeah, in the beginning, my dear child. In the same kalima tasghir, he's speaking with affection, saying to his children now, who haven't been very good children, Ya baniya. And this is another affectionate way of saying, not sons, but dear sons. My dear sons. Idhabu, go. Meaning, go to Egypt back again. This is going to be the third time they're going to Egypt. The third trip to Egypt. Interesting, you mentioned this before. Three trips in this story. Three times the Qamis makes an appearance and three dreams as well. Yeah. So he says, go back to Egypt. And then فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِي يُوسُفَ وَأَخِي And I want you to do تَحَسَّسَ تَحَسَّسَ means to go and find out. But it's got another very interesting meaning. It comes from the root of this حَوَاس. Yeah? حَوَاس means your senses. Your senses, your seeing, your hearing, your mind. فَتَحَسَّسُوا means to use all of your senses to search out something, to go and find something. Yeah, tahassasa is different from tajassus, which means to spy. Yeah, it's different because spying you know, you use your mind and you plan and you're very careful, but you do things undercover. Yeah, tahassasa is not like this. You're quite open about it, but he's telling them, I want you to use all of your abilities to go and find him. Okay, who do I want you to find? First of all, Yusuf alayhi salam, subhanAllah. He's still believes fully that he's alive and he's somewhere out there. In fact, now he believes in Egypt. Yeah, so all these stories that are coming back to him, even though he can't make sense of them, something in his heart is telling him Yusuf's there. So he tells his sons, go back and go and find Yusuf. Now what are the sons going to think? Dad, you're crazy, come on. We threw him in the well a long time ago, he's dead. Yeah, but you know what? They listen to him. فَتَحَسَسُوا مِي يُوسُفْ وَأَخِيهِ And his brother, Benjamin. He doesn't actually say, and the third one is as well, does he? We forgot about that one. Don't worry about that big one. Okay, just find these two for me. فَتَحَسَسُوا مِي يُوسُفْ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ And don't have this yais in the rawh of Allah. Ya'is is to despair. Yeah, we spoke about this difference between ya'isa and istay'asa. Istay'asa means to nearly lose all hope. Ya'isa means, what? Yes, ahsant, to lose complete hope. So which one does he say to his sons don't do with Allah? Don't lose complete hope in Allah. He is saying that I know you have lost hope somewhat. I can tell. You know, you're dragging your feet. You're thinking, why is Dad telling us to go back? This is pointless. But there is Allah. There is Allah. And the rawh of Allah, which means mercy of Allah, means more than mercy, in fact. Because rawh comes from ruh. Ruh is the soul, right? So what's the word rawh being used here instead of rahmah? It's being used here because they're in a situation which is difficult, stricken, challenging. Yeah, it's getting them down. And you know when you're down, your chest feels constricted, right? It feels like, ah, tough. So the ruh is feeling constricted. Yeah, and tarawuh means to lift that restriction. As if he's saying, I know you're feeling down and restricted and constricted, but Allah is the one who can remove that. He can do tarawuh of that. So don't give up hope in that happening to you from Allah. Yeah? Meaning Allah will make a way. Don't ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? And then he goes further to state a fact that إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That no one despairs, meaning completely, from this mercy of Allah except who? A foolish person? A depressed person? No. Except a nation that is kuffar. Except people that are disbelievers. He's really making it clear to his children that look, jokes aside, you can have ups and downs in your life, you can be anxious sometimes, and you don't have much hope in your life at that moment in time, but if you ever lose complete hope in Allah, then that is a matter of disbelief, children. Remember that, okay? So this is a point in your life where you are losing hope, but don't go to that level where you've lost complete hope in Allah. Because if you do, then you are actually disbelievers. Now how, subhanAllah, how does having ya'is, losing complete hope in Allah, make someone a disbeliever? Or more accurately, how is an act of kufr to lose hope in Allah? How? How is that kufr exactly? Who can answer this question? Okay, so you said because you're limiting Allah's attributes. In what sense? You're saying that, what are you limiting? What attribute are you limiting? Okay, Allah is power of everything. So indirectly you're saying that this situation will never get better for me. It's never going to happen. So you're saying indirectly that Allah doesn't have the ability of astaghfirullah to do that. Good answer, yeah, very good. I think you deserve something for that, mashallah. This is a personal favourite of mine. One answer over there in the corner, yeah. Stop believing in the decree of Allah. Now, he may believe that this is the decree of Allah, that, for example, in their case, Yusuf alayhi salam is never going to come back. Okay, so what you're saying is that if you say, like atheists do, like, there's no God, because if there was a God, there wouldn't be so much oppression in the world, right? Isn't that what they say? That if there was a God, there wouldn't be all of this war and injustice in the world. So, in a way, Allah is saying that, well, if you go down that road, then what you've done is that you said that Allah's mercy cannot reach this particular situation. But Allah said His mercy, yeah, rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My mercy encompasses everything. And I am arhamur rahimin, I am the most merciful of those that can show mercy. But you're saying, no, but in this situation Allah's mercy can't reach me. So you're denying the attribute of His mercy. Which is similar to what the brother said there. Yeah, so the power and mercy, good. Anything different? Any other reason why it would be considered an act of disbelief? I mean, that's a big thing.
Is it because you're giving up on Allah?
You're giving up on Allah. Okay, what do you mean by that? Interesting. So you're saying that the human emotion of hoping in something in difficult times, it's a natural feeling, and you can feel it either towards Allah or something else. Is that what you're saying? Okay, very good. So what you're saying here, that look, hoping in something, and not just any hope, like, you know, I hope that the projector doesn't stop working today. No, I mean like a proper deep level hope, you know, like the deity type of hope. If someone doesn't have that in Allah, then they'll start having it in something else. They might have it in themselves. Like, I really hope in my ability to make this situation change. I got hope in myself. You know, have you heard this? I've got hope in myself that I can do this. Yeah, it's down to me. And if it goes to that level, then that's kufr. Because that type of hope should be shown to none but Allah. Right? Okay, mashallah, very good. Fadl. Okay, so let's see Ibn Atiyyah rahimahullah, a 7th century scholar, or is a 6th century scholar, sorry, said, either because it entails belying in his rububiyyah or showing ignorance regarding his attributes. Yeah, so I think this is basically what we said. We showed it is showing ignorance towards his attribute of mercy or his power, and it also can be a form of showing, belying his rububiyyah, that Allah's existence as a creator. You're kind of disregarding Allah by placing your feelings of ibadah that you should have towards Allah in other than Allah. Or maybe like the atheists do, disbelieve in Allah altogether. Yeah. Okay, very good. Now, we just want to look at this once more about Ya'qub al-Islam. Because you know, in this story, what we've seen is Ya'qub giving good advice, isn't it? He gave really good advice to his son Yusuf al-Islam. In the beginning he said, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. He said to Yusuf right in the beginning, listen, this fantastic dream, don't tell it to your brothers. If you do, then they're going to plot and scheme against you. And remember, Shaytan, he is to man a clear, open enemy. We're going to see how that advice impacted Yusuf now, after all these years. Then he gives another piece of advice to his sons. What was the advice he gives to his sons when he sends them off to go to Egypt, second time round, with Binyamin? What does he say? Yes, he says, لا تدخلوا من باب واحد. Don't go into Egypt from one checkpoint or one gate. Spread out and go through different gates. Okay? But even though this is one way of avoiding potential harm, at the end of the day, it's up to Allah. He could decide that this doesn't help you whatsoever. But despite that, have true reliance on Allah, taking the means and hoping in Him, trusting in Him. That was another very beautiful piece of advice. Third time now we're hearing another piece of advice from Ya'qub al-Islam. And again, a very important one. Children, look, you go through bad times in your life, لا تيأسوا من روح الله. Don't ever give up on the hope and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're constantly being shown that Ya'qub is a great father figure. Yeah, and you should look at him in this light, that he's an amazing father figure. And if you want to learn tips about how to be a great father, you know, study the biography of Ya'qub al-Islam. Okay, now let's move on. What's happening here? It's not moving. Okay, so now the scene cuts to where the brothers have actually left Egypt, have left Palestine rather, and arrived once again at Egypt for the third time. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. So once again they enter into Egypt, and they enter into the, if you like, maybe the palace of Yusuf alayhi salam, or wherever he was. They enter upon him once again and they begin to have a little conversation with him. They address him, Ya ayyuhal aziz, O aziz. Yeah, they're speaking up to him, recognizing his position, still don't know who he is. Massana wa ahlana dur. They say the following things. They're making a case here, okay? They're making a case to plead for something. Now, it's very interesting how they make the case. You want something from someone, you can ask many ways. You want some money from someone, you say, bro, listen, send me £100, please. Things aren't too good for me right now. maybe he'll give it to you. Yeah. But if you say, "Akhi, listen, can I have a minute of your time? Things really haven't been good for me recently. I got divorced, bro. That was really bad. And my job's not looking too secure as well. Would you mind giving me £100, please?" Bit more persuasive, right? Bit more persuasive. So now look at the way they make their case to Yusuf alayhi salam. They say, "Massana, touched us wa ahlana, as well as our family, dur, harm." Meaning us, all of us, as well as back home, if you could see back home in Palestine, all of our family right now is suffering. Yeah, we're suffering, we are in a bad situation. On top of that, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ. On top of that, we've come, as you can see, okay, we're not always supposed to come with good quality bida'a, commodity to exchange for food, as you have asked us, but this time round, that commodity is muzjat. Muzjat means very low value stuff, yeah? Low value stuff, it's not any good. Yeah, so they're saying, "Look, we're in a bad situation. You can have a look at the stuff that we brought as well to exchange." I mean, it's really embarrassing. If you look at these things, they're falling apart. But this is all we got. Yeah, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ فَأَوْفِلَنَا الْكَيْلِ. So please, yeah, فَأَوْفِ. So please fill up the measure for us. Meaning, as you did last year and the year before, please, you know, help us out. And on top of that, وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْنَا. And also on top of that, give us some sadaqah. That can mean a number of things. It can mean they're saying, can we have more than what you normally give? Or can we have back our brother, Benjamin? Yeah. So they come to make a deal. A plea. وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْنَا. And then on top of that, they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجَزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. And you know, Aziz, that Allah, He gives to the mutasaddiqeen. You know, so please, give to us. You know, they're making this deal. The word here they use is mutasaddiq, yeah, which means someone who gives sadaqah. But there's another word very similar, which is musaddiq. Yeah, musaddiq. Difference between the two is that the second one, musaddiq, has an extra shadda. Musaddiq. Yeah, it's two shaddas on the sad, as well as a musaddiq on the dal as well. But on the second one, mutasaddiq, which is the one mentioned, there's only one shadda. Whenever you find there's an extra shadda, it gives a meaning of more, okay, or abundance. So they never said, "In Allah yajzil musaddiqeen," Allah rewards those that give a lot. They just said, "In Allah yajzil musaddiqeen," Allah rewards those that give, even if it's a little bit. As if to say, we're just asking for a little bit. No, we're not asking for a lot. Please, help us out. So, here there's one lesson that a lot of scholars mention, which is that there is a permissibility in making this type of plea to someone, and it doesn't go against tawakkul in Allah, and it doesn't count as begging either. You may think that they're groveling to Aziz. But the scholar said, it is permissible to do this if you are actually in this situation, where you've got literally nothing. You need food, you need shelter. You can go to someone and say, "Listen, I'm in a bad way, can you help me out?" And doing that doesn't mean you're less of a believer. Yeah, it doesn't mean you're less of a believer. Of course, there's the inside element of it too. If you feel like, "Oh, the only hope I have now is that chap over there, or that brother," then that's a problem. But if it's like, you know, Allah has put me in the situation, and Allah will help me, I just need to take the means. So let me go and ask this person over here. If you did that, like they did, then you're not considered to be any less of a believer. Okay. Now, it also teaches us how to ask as well, you know. And subhanAllah, if you look at the way that we make dua to Allah, like Yunus alayhi salam, when Yunus alayhi salam made dua to Allah in the, you know, in the belly of the whale, what did he say? He wants to say, "Allah save me," right? "Allah, please take me out of the whale." Does he say that? What does he say? "La ilaha illa ant, subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin." Nothing in the statement is a request from Allah to save him from dying inside this whale. Nothing. In fact, it starts off, "La ilaha illa ant," a declaration of faith. There is no one worthy of worship except you. And then, subhanak, Glory be to you. Or you have no imperfections whatsoever. Ya Allah, I'm declaring that. But the thing is, kuntu, me, min al-dhalimin. I was of those that done wrong. It's just, that's his case. That's all he's making to Allah. And that, subhanAllah, was enough to answer his dua. And Allah saved him. And it's the way he made the dua. And obviously the heart behind it, which was heard and appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point here is that the way he asked is to show his own vulnerability and incapacity before Allah. I'm in total need of you, Allah. And I wouldn't turn to anyone except you, because you're the only one worthy of feeling this way towards. And I declare that you are free from imperfections. That's what I believe, totally. And you know my situation better than myself. I'm here because of my own doing. Inni kunt min al-dhalimin. Yeah, I was of those that did wrong. And subhanAllah, yani, when someone comes to Allah like this, believe me, Allah responds. Believe me. Someone totally breaks down before Allah. He feels like, I'm nothing. I need you, Allah. And I need you in a way that I couldn't possibly need anything else. You don't even have to say what you need. Allah knows. He just wants to see you come to Him with the right etiquette, the right attitude, the right state of mind and heart. So, this is, subhanAllah, the moment where the penny drops for the brothers. Yeah, this is that, you know, epic moment, if you like, where, subhanAllah, after all of this, now the plan has come to the end and Yusuf al-Islam is going to reveal his true identity. So they just said to him, look, please help us, give us sadaqah, we're in a really bad situation. All they got in their mind is getting some food, yeah, to take care of themselves and their families. They haven't even asked about Yusuf, have they? They haven't asked about him. But now, Yusuf al-Islam, as if he hasn't even heard their request, he's just seen the situation, which is that they are being genuine now, they are desperate now, and I can see signs of change in them. Yeah. What did he say? قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِي. He said to them, هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ. Do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother when you were in a state of ignorance? Just imagine what they would have felt like when hearing that. They got no idea this is Yusuf. Now he's saying, and what did you guys used to do with Yusuf back in the day? They're like, what? What's he talking about, Yusuf? They start looking at each other. No, you gotta be kidding me. Oh my God, and last year we lied and said he's a thief. And oh my God, we threw him in the well before. Left him for dead. Hang on a minute. He's been treating us so well. He's been giving us so many things. What is going on here? And subhanAllah, it's exactly the way Allah described it in the beginning. Where He inspired Yusuf al-Islam when he was in the bottom of that well. What? لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And there will come a time when you will inform them what they did and they won't have a clue whatsoever. This is the actualization of that promise that Allah made Yusuf. Unbelievable, the way the promise comes true. Because they're going to say, what? Is it really you? But before we get to that, look at the way Yusuf al-Islam tells them off. It's amazing. Like, he's in a position of total power. And they're in a position of total weakness. Isn't it? He could have done whatever he wants to them. He could have taken revenge. Could have killed them. He could have done whatever he wants. But he tells them off in a very noble way. He says, قال, هل. He asks a question. He's not asking a question to get an answer. He's asking a question of reprimand, توبيخ, to tell them off. You know, like sometimes, you know, you haven't been a good boy, you've been bunking off school, okay, and then your mum finds out. And then mum says, better come sit down over here, I want to talk to you. She's already got a letter in her hand from the school, so you know what's going on. He says, better tell me, where were you last week? No, not Thursday, Wednesday. Where were you on Wednesday? Yeah, when you were supposed to be in school. And at that point, the son is feeling like, oh, I got found out. This is going to go really bad. This is terrible. Yeah, this is the same type of questioning. قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ Do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother? It could be like a rhetorical question, but it's not even a question. It's not even a question. It's actually just to make you feel, put you in your place type of question. That's what it is. Put you in your place type of question. There's no answer to that. Yeah. But when he does say that, you can bet you can bet yourself that they really felt in put in their place. Oh my God, this is Yusuf. It's actually him. Now, interestingly, he says, do you know what you did to Yusuf and Akhihi and his brother? Like, he's saying, I know what you did to me and also what you did to my brother as well. Because, you know, when after you dumped me in that well, you treated my brother, Benjamin, very badly for all these years too. Yeah, he's in on it too, by the way. Yeah, that's right. He's here because he knows who I am. So, but he's kind of saying, in more of a humble way as well, it's not just about me, it's about my brother too, you know. How could you do that? So now, he's told them off, yeah, he's put them in their place. The second part of the statement is more softer. He could have said, do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother, full stop. Could have, isn't it? But he qualifies that, he says, إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ إِذْ meaning when, in the past. When you guys were fooling around, ignorant, yeah? You never knew. Al-Qasim, he says, you know, back in the day when you were younger, you never knew how to treat a brother. It's soft, isn't it? He's like, he's already kind of telling them where he's going to take this. I'm not going to kill you, I'm not going to imprison you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm kind of going to make an excuse for you. إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ You know, you were jahilun back in the day. And as people in jahiliya, they do bad things. You've done bad things as well. Yeah? It's quite amazing, subhanAllah, the way he tells them off. Because, you know, when someone's in a position to tell someone off badly, they do it badly, isn't it? They rinse them. They take them to town, right? But subhanAllah, the objective behind telling off somebody, like your children for example, is not to embarrass them, is it? What's the objective behind telling off your children when they do something bad? What do you mean by teaching them a lesson though? To correct them, yes. Yeah. So the objective is to... Okay, to make sure they don't do it again. Yeah. This is the reason why we told someone off. If that is the objective, which is essentially to reform a person, then, you know, you can decide what approach you take. Sometimes approach may need to be harsh. Sometimes it can be soft. Because if the real essence of telling someone off is the objective of reforming them, then it can change from place to place, situation to situation, right? Here we're being taught that you should have a combination of, if you like, harshness as well as softness in telling someone off. Yeah, the first part is harsh, second part is soft. Look at the order. Which one came first, the soft part or the harsh part? Harsh part. Why do you think that is? That he decided first to say, yeah, you know, back in the days you guys were jahil. But tell me, why did you do that to Yusuf and his brother? Oh no. The other way around, why did you do that to Yusuf and his brother, you know, back in the day when you were jahil? Why do you think he said the harsh bit first and then the soft bit second? Fadl. He is giving them an excuse, and it's sometimes, yeah, what you say last does stick in your mind the most. But it's more than that. If you look at it in the context of telling someone off, you know, your combination between being harsh as well as being soft, and this order, harsh and then soft, why? What do you think? Okay. But why do you think that he's, you know, saying, look, that was terrible what you did to me, you know, back in the day. But, you know, you were a bit jahil back then as well. And instead of saying the other way around. He could feel sorry for them, yeah, that's true. What else? What do you think?
Is it to like give them hope? And if you do it like, for example, soft to harsh,
yeah,
like kind of killing the hope at the end.
Good. Very good. You're killing the hope, and what's the person gonna feel like towards you?
He's gonna feel like, I don't wanna say the bad language, but he's gonna feel like,
I'm sure you've got other words in your vocabulary. Oh, very good, very good. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. It's going to have a bad effect on them, isn't it? Fadl. Sorry. It's going to make you feel a bit bitter, right? You ever see parents do that to their children? They tell them off in public sometimes. And the way they tell them off, like, just makes the child feel bitter towards mum or dad. You know, there's so many ways of telling your child, for example, Can you turn the TV off now, please? Okay. You can say, turn it off right now. But dad, right in the middle of the thing, can't wait till the adverts. Oh, turn it off right now. Oh, man. Brother over there thinking, oh, how does he know my dad says that? No, I'm just kidding. Another approach is, listen, in 5 minutes I want you to turn it off. All right? 5 minutes. Okay? Tayyib, no problem. Is it easier for the son to say, yeah, dad, in 5 minutes, so it's cool, you know, 5 minutes, and I'll turn it off, no problem. Or dad said, I've got it right now. Right now. Then when dad does come after 5 minutes and says, hey, turn it off now, it's going to be a bit easier, isn't it? And the main thing is, not that it's easier, but the child doesn't feel bitter towards you. Yeah, bitter feelings, they create bad relations, right? They break down a relationship between two people, bitterness. So you want to tell someone off, you want positive things to come out of it. Number one is that you want to reform them, change them, make sure they don't do it again, like you said, to teach them a lesson. And also, you don't want them to feel bitter towards you. Yeah, you want there to be, you know, a sulh, a reconciliation between you and that person. You don't want to put a wedge between you and that person. Tayyib. So this is what we're learning from Yusuf alayhi salam, is to how to tell someone off. Have a combination between having harshness and softness, and have also the idea in the mind that the objective is not to humiliate, to embarrass someone, it's to try and teach them a lesson to help them become a better person. So now that he's told them, he's basically revealed his identity, they are totally in shock. They say, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Just look at how much emphasis there is in this statement. They could have said, قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ, isn't it? They could have said, are you Yusuf? But they didn't say that. They said, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ, I, indeed, you. Lam of Tawqeed again. لَأَنْتَ يُوسُف, truly, is it you? Yusuf? Amazing, isn't it? The way there's so much emphasis there, like, is like their jaws are like dropping down. They just can't believe. أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُف, is it really you? Can't believe it. What does he say? قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Me, it's me. I am Yusuf. And this is my brother. SubhanAllah. Amazing. This is that moment, you know, after all these years that he finally is speaking to his brothers as a brother once again. And the first thing he says is, yes, it is me. But they asked about him. He says, it is me and this is my brother. Do they already know that's his brother? Do they already know Benjamin is Yusuf's brother? They already do. So what's the extra benefit in him saying, yeah, it's me, and this is Benjamin as well? Like, they already know that he's his brother. Okay, he doesn't want to be selfish, he wants to include his brother. Like, what do you mean? Like, if he didn't say, this is my brother, then how would that be selfish? He loves his brother, yeah. And what does he also want to say to them? That you've been bad to me. Shouldn't have abandoned him. Yeah, he wants to say that, look, I know you're thinking, we threw him in a well, we left him for dead, we called him a thief. Yeah, me and, by the way, this one here as well. Yeah. Very good, mashallah. Fadl. It's in order to take the limelight off himself and to put it and to share it with his brother, as if to say, look, I'm not, it's just about me. Okay, you've been bad to myself as well as to my brother, Benjamin, to both of us. The other thing is, Ibn Ashur mentioned this point, he's saying, from another perspective completely, they're saying, is it you, really you, Yusuf? And Yusuf is standing there and he's saying, yeah, it's me and this is my brother. As if to say, look how Allah has brought us back together. Look, me, my brother, and you guys. And that's why he then says, قَدَ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. And that is how Allah has favored us. Us could mean both of us here, or it could mean all of us as well. Because they have been favored now, because Allah is guiding them, reforming them. They feel guilty about what they did. They changed people. As well as Yusuf alayhi salam, he's the one who's been favored the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you could cut them out of the picture. You could say, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا is Yusuf now teaching them a lesson. Using the situation opportunistically to teach them a lesson. This is teaching skills. Yeah, teaching skills. Because they asked one question, right? What was the question? Are you Yusuf? He could have said, yeah, that's me, yeah. What's your point? You didn't get it already? But no, he's going to teach them a lesson now. He's going to use this opportunity to teach them a real life lesson. First of all, you're looking at me, you're thinking, oh my God, you're the Aziz of Egypt. You got servants. Wow, amazing. From where you were to where you are now. Just a second. قَدَ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah is the one who favored us, me. Yeah, let's get that. Firstly, look at that first. That it's not about, you know, thinking that all these things I made myself a millionaire, you know. Self-made millionaire, you know, that he had this, I'm a self-made millionaire, made billionaire now. No. Allah gave it to me, okay. Allah is the source of benefit. This is the difference between an Islamic worldview and a secular worldview. A person who lives in a secular worldview, even if he's a Muslim, he sees that what he has in his life, the possessions, I earned those things. I got those things, you know. They're from my hard-earned money. No, akhi, Allah bless you with them. Okay? قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So he's saying, let me put things in perspective. Allah is the one who favored me. Now you're thinking, why did Allah favor you? Is something special about you? Is it because of your good looks, maybe? What is it exactly about you? Tell us. Okay, let me tell you why. Two essential components came together, which allowed me to become the recipient of Allah's man, favor. And that's why I am where I am now. Innahu, Ibn Ashur says, now he's giving the reasoning behind why Allah has favored him. Innahu may yattaqi wa yasbir, fa inna Allah la yudhi'u ajr al muhsinin. If innahu, indeed the one who has these two things, who yattaqi, who has taqwa, and who wa yasbir, who has sabr, then that person, Allah is ready to give him anything he wants. In this world and the hereafter, whatever he wants, it will come to him. As long as he's a person who has taqwa and sabr. So if you just look at Yusuf alayhi salam, what incidences in his life has he shown taqwa in? And what incidences in his life has he shown sabr in? Regarding taqwa, what incidents can you say stands out well? He had serious taqwa in that situation. Yes, Anas. Very good. The part of the incident about Imratul Aziz, the very, you know, this woman, crazy woman who was infatuated with him. She tried it on him. He said, no, even though I'm a slave in your palace, it's not going to happen. And he ran. Moment of true taqwa. Refraining from doing something that Allah will become angry with. Taqwa. I had that. That's one crucial thing. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرُ. And there's another thing as well. It's not just taqwa. It's about sabr as well. So what portion of his life did he have a lot of sabr in? At the back there, right at the back? In prison. So when he was in prison, unjustly convicted of something that he didn't do, stayed in there for so many years. We don't even know the number of years. Allah said, I don't even want to tell you the number of years. But it was a long time. The main thing is, look at what he'd done in prison. He gave da'wah to prisoners. Yeah? He gave da'wah in prison, meaning he wasn't fazed by the fact that he's stuck in prison. He continued to persevere, soldier on, being a true believer, even in that state. He had sabr in that state. Yeah? So these are some of the incidences that clearly show that he had taqwa and sabr. And he's saying these two ingredients came together, and when they do, then you become a muhsin. You become a person of ihsan. And the thing is, Allah, He never puts to waste the reward of a muhsin. Never. And that's why you see, I'm living like this now, and I have position now, and I'm able to help people now, because of these two crucial ingredients. Now if you look at the story of Ya'qub, in isolation to everybody else's story, he's also had a lot of sabr, right? Isn't it? Well, where has he had sabr with? Where has he shown a lot of sabr? Yeah. From the beginning. Yeah, when Yusuf alayhi salam is basically kidnapped from him, he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm going to have a beautiful patience. And again, if you look at his life, now, you know, very soon, he's going to be reunited with all his family, and the family is going to be reconciled, and now they're going to be living in Egypt, you know, the most wealthiest place in the world. So he's had sabr, as well as taqwa. Where has he had taqwa though? Where could you say, you know, he's refrained from doing something that will earn the anger of Allah? Somebody else. Ya'qub al-Islam, yeah. Where can you say that? You know, he had taqwa. Idris, yes. Ahsant, Idris. Ahsant, mashallah, tabarakallah. The purple one, it's a favorite for everyone, isn't it? Yeah. Bismillah. Ya'qub alayhi salam, he was in bits, and he was also angry at his children as well. Second time round, they, you know, lost a son of his. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. But Allah said, regardless, he was kazim, meaning holding back on his anger and not expressing it in a way that is haram, in a way that Allah doesn't like. So he had taqwa regarding his emotions, you know, didn't burst out in anger. Now, you want to add something? Ahsant, very good, that he didn't complain to others. He said, I'm going to have a sabr, which is jameel. And sabr jameel means I'm not going to go around whining and moaning to other people about my problems. Yeah, very good. So he had taqwa in that scenario. That's a combination of taqwa and sabr, to be honest. Okay, now, this is the last verse or second last verse? Okay, so now that he has told his brothers the secret ingredients behind having success in this life as well as the next, they then now feel seriously guilty about everything. And they want to say sorry. How do they say sorry to Yusuf alayhi salam? They say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ, by Allah. Again, not wallahi, تَاللَّهِ has an element of amazement, ta'ajjub, as Zamakhshiri said. لَقَدَ, truly, without a shadow of a doubt, آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا, Allah has favored you above us. As if they're saying, we're nothing compared to you. In every way, you know, you're far better than us. Allah has indeed done ithar to you above us. And that's, ithar, Ibn Ashur said, means to favor by way of giving something to someone that he hasn't given to others. Allah has given you so much more than He has given us. We can clearly see that. And you know what? وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. And indeed we were clearly, lam of tawkeed, clearly in wrong. So basically, like confessing and admitting their guilt before Yusuf alayhi salam. What's amazing is this is the third group of people admitting their guilt to Yusuf alayhi salam, isn't it? Third. First is Niswa of Medina. They say to the Malik, you know, we don't know anything wrong about him whatsoever. That guy, can't fault him. Then Imra'atul Aziz, she says, yeah, it's true, I tried it on him, he didn't try it on me. And he was of the Sadiqeen. Now the third group of people that plotted against him are now coming back to say, confession time. You know, you are always the good one, we were always the bad ones. Yeah, subhanAllah, how Allah brings things around in this way. Now, the interesting lesson that we learn here is that if this is the status, if this is the statement of the brothers, it's a good thing to say, right? To admit your fault, to come clean, to put up your hand and say, I was wrong. This is the end of the story. So Allah is showing us that the beginning of the story, or their story, was bad, evil, dark. Now to the end of their story, their lives have changed, they become different people, better people, reformed, changed. So Sa'di rahimahullah says, here Allah is showing us that what matters the most is the endings. The endings, the conclusions. The conclusion of your life is what matters the most. Not the beginning, not even the middle, but the ending. Now you may say, like, is that like luck? You know, someone lands a good ending, someone's just reading Quran, happens that angel of death comes at that moment in time, but before that, guy was very messed up. Like, how does that work? No, this is the justice of Allah. The reality is that you may have perceived that person to be off the rails, maybe he was, but that person, he was struggling, trying to change himself, trying, struggling for Allah's sake. All his life he struggled for Allah's sake. And Allah saw that struggle. Allah witnessed that struggle. And out of his justice, he made what was inside that person of terms of goodness come out at the end. Right at the end. Because that's what it matters the most. It's not that it was never there. The person had wanted nothing, wal-iyadu billah, to do with Allah. And Allah just favored him because I like him. No. Person, you may have seen differently. I saw inside his heart that he was truly trying and struggling. He did things that you never saw, and for sure he was struggling inside. And that is why in the end, you know, I brought it out of them, you know, right at the end. And the opposite is true as well. Person may seem like a decent person, praying, going to the masjid, maybe even giving talks. But internally, he's got some ulterior motives. Allah will bring them out at the end. You know, and that's his justice. That's his justice. Okay, so the ending is what counts. The last verse now. Now that they've admitted to Yusuf that we were so wrong when it came to you, and you know Allah has chosen you above us, given you so much more than he has given us. Yusuf alayhi salam now speaks. And he says beautiful words of compassion and forgiveness. He says, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There will be no tathrib upon you today. Tathrib comes from the root of tharb. Tharb means to strip off the outer layer of a stomach. Now, tathrib means not to blame someone even though they are worthy of blame. How does that go together? Well, they said that, you know, like you strip the skin off the stomach, in the same way, like when you strip the skin off a stomach, then you expose what is underneath. It becomes bare. Yeah. In the same way, when you reprimand and blame someone in public for something they know that they've done wrong, they become exposed. Right? The reputation becomes tarnished. So Yusuf alayhi salam is saying to them, I'm not going to do that to you today. Yeah. Not today and never in the future. I'm not going to make mention of this, even though I could. Even though you are guilty, I could make tathrib, but لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Today I'm not going to do that. Meaning today and from here on in, I'm never going to mention it again. You know, like someone says, I can forgive you, but I can't forget. You know, I think sisters say that, one of the brothers. People say that, right? I can forgive you, but I can't forget. What do you mean you can't forget? So you can remind me tomorrow? Well, I made you. You wait till tomorrow. طيب, لا. Yusuf alayhi salam says, I forgive and I forget. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to utter it ever again in the future. I'm not going to do that. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah has forgiven you. Now how can someone say Allah has forgiven you? You don't know if Allah has forgiven you, right? Well, the meaning isn't that Allah has forgiven you. I know Allah has forgiven you. It is a dua. He's asking Allah, oh Allah, forgive them for what they did. Like, you know, when someone sees you say, Alhamdulillah, other person says, Yarhamukallah. Allah having mercy on you. Allah had mercy on you. How do you know Allah had mercy on me? No, it's a dua. I'm asking Allah to have mercy on you. Yeah? It's like a figure of speech. So you say, Allah, may He forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And at the end of the day, Allah is the most merciful of the merciful. Now, do you have time? How long do we have? So, shall I carry on for 5 minutes or? 5 minutes? Okay, 15 minutes to start. So now the thing is, we can all appreciate that this is amazing, that he totally forgives them and says, I'm not even going to mention it ever again. That's amazing for someone to do that to people that hated on you, tried to kill you. Yeah, that's amazing. But you might be thinking, oh, I can't do that, you know. If someone hated on me like that, I don't think I could do that, you know. Well, one of the things that may help you to be like Yusuf alayhi salam in pardoning people when they've done wrong to you is the following. Number one, you need to distinguish between someone doing wrong to you because you're a Muslim and someone doing wrong to you and you happen to be a Muslim. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, let me explain. Like somebody, okay, you're maybe in the street, okay, and you're going about your business, and you're shopping, and you want to pay for something. So even you go into the queue, you don't realize that you actually jumped the queue. You didn't realize that. You know, sometimes it's a long queue, and you just walk in, and didn't realize. The guy behind you, okay, now imagine actually it's a niqabi sister who's doing the shopping. She jumps the queue, didn't even realize. The guy behind her is some bald-headed white guy. EDL man, you can tell. In fact, he's got a tattoo on the back, EDL as well. And this guy's ripping into her. How dare you jump the queue like that? Look at all these people behind. And you think you can come here and just jump the queue? Now, is he telling her off because she happened to jump the queue? Or is he telling her off because she's a Muslimah? Maybe a bit of both, but which one is it more? Probably the latter one, right? Because he's a Muslimah. He's taking the full opportunity to express his hatred at you because you're a Muslim. Now someone should not just turn around and say, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No blame on you today, Mr. EDL. La. You are in no position to forgive anyone in that particular scenario. You're not in a position. Why? Because they are not attacking you, sister, brother. They're attacking Islam. Can you say, I forgive you for attacking Islam to anyone? You know, like recently with SubhanAllah, with Charlie Hebdo, people are asking silly questions. Asking, I saw there was a sister, Muslim sister on TV, I think it was Newsnight, and the guy asked her, if Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was here right now, would he forgive Charlie Hebdo for those depictions? So the thing is, they're asking her a question because they want to say to her, see, you're saying they shouldn't have done that. But let's say the Prophet himself was here, would he forgive them? Because if you say he would forgive them, then it kind of means that, why are you not forgiving them? And if you say he won't forgive them, you're portraying him as an extremist. You see the question. But the answer is, can I forgive on behalf of somebody else? Like if someone came and slapped you in your face, could I say, I forgive you? I forgive you. What do you mean you forgive him? It's got nothing to do with you. It's my honor. How can you forgive for my honor? You can't. Do you understand? It's an invalid question. Same thing. A person is insulting, abusing you because you're a Muslim. It means he's attacking Islam. In that situation, you have to respond in a way that shows that Islam cannot be insulted in that way. And that differs from situation to situation, right? So in that situation, sister could turn around and say, it's nothing to do with jumping the queue, is it? You just hate Islam, isn't it? Admit it. Aha. So now people are seeing that scene, and what they're seeing is this sister is actually, she's not having it. And though she admits that she might be at fault, she's defending Islam. Islam is being defended. Islam is not being allowed to be maligned by this person. Aha. Not لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. So insult or offense to Islam or you because you're a Muslim cannot be responded to with turn the other cheek. No way. You have to respond in a way that shows that Islam cannot be spoken of in that way. And you decide how best to do that. As for personal insult, like Yusuf alayhi salam, that's different. That's about you. They hated on Yusuf. They plotted against Yusuf. Not because he's a Muslim. Because he's their brother who their dad loves more than them. Isn't it? So, if in that case, what is best for you to do is to pardon that person. If this is the key thing, if pardoning that person will bring about a change in them, it will have a positive impact. You know what I mean? So let's say like two friends, they fall out. One person, he borrowed money of another. And then the next day turn around and say, I didn't borrow nothing of you. What are you talking about? You're asking me for £100. I didn't give you no £100. Akhi, what are you talking about? You asked me for £100, I gave it to you. What? Now I'm asking for about, why are you saying that? I never gave you £100. Okay, if I say to him, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, don't worry about it, it's okay anyway. Yeah, maybe he'll say, yeah, I could do that to him, I could do that to him, I could do that to him. These Muslims, man, it's cool. You can do that to them, they don't mind. لا. But if saying, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, will make him feel, oh man, look at that, and he's saying that, don't worry about it as well. I feel really bad. Look at the way he responded, he's forgiven me. You know, that's so bad of me to do that. No, let me give the money back to him. Yeah. If you think that pardoning that person about personally insulting you will help him, either help your relationship with him or help him draw close to Allah, then pardon them is best. Pardoning them is best. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, Allah said. And reconciling is best. If it is actually going to be reconciliation. Do you see that? If it's not going to be reconciliation, if it's going to be a facade, then that's not khayr, that's not good. So personal situations, you can pardon. And pardoning is the best if pardoning is going to impact that person positively. Yeah. However, there's the opposite of pardoning, which is to take revenge. And it's possible to take revenge if the system is in place to take revenge. Like qisas. If there's a court system where you can say, this person wronged me financially and I want to take revenge, I want that £100 back by taking him to court, whatever, you can apply for that, no problem. Or, there's something in the middle, which is to say, I want you to, I want to compromise. You said that I didn't give you this, I say you did give me this, let's meet half. That's even better. Yeah, that's even better. Why is it better? Why is it better to pardon? Why? I'm losing that £100 here. You know, you're telling me it's better. Well, the reason it's better is because not better for you now, it's better for you in the Akhirah. Yeah, why? Because Allah loves for you to pardon. So you're just doing something that Allah loves. And though you might be taking a hit here, at the end of the day, you just done something that Allah loves. He loves this more than He loves you taking revenge. Ah, so that's why I should let go of the argument. That's why I should maybe take the hit. Because Allah loves for me to pardon. Fine. From that perspective, I can understand why it's better. Yeah, that's why it is better. If a person cannot bring themselves to pardon a person, then he can go for the second option, yeah, which is to try and compromise. And compromise is always better than taking revenge. Why? Well, because my brothers and sisters, we'll finish with this, at the end of the day, you said, from your perspective, you're in the right. Maybe from his perspective, he's in the right. Who knows? It's true, isn't it? Sometimes you say, nah, it's clear you wronged me. And the brother said, no, it's clear that you wronged me. Okay, who's right? Akhi, just be careful because you may think you're right and you may get revenge. Then you die and on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you find that he was right. Oh my God, he was right after all. What can I give him except my good deeds now? Lala, I don't want to be in that situation. It's better for me to be the mazloom than the zalim. Better for me to be the oppressed one and take the hit now than end up being the zalim later on. Yeah, because I didn't know any better. That's why compromising and pardoning is always better as well. Because sometimes you don't know whether you're in the right. You might end up actually being in the wrong. You don't know. You find out when it's too late. Tayyib. So, that brings us to the end of the dars. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa jazakumullahu khairan.